الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما من دابه في الارض الا على الله رزقها ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها كل في كتاب مبين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وارض بما قسم الله لك تكن اغنى الناس صدق الله العظيم صدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing the rosy and sustenance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken upon himself to provide for his entire creation. We had mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides the rosy for his creation, that which is befitting every creation of his. Animals get what is befitting to them. Scorpions and snakes get what is befitting to them. The wild beasts in the jungle gets what is befitting and required by them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures that every creation of his gets the rozi. He has taken this upon himself. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no creature, there is no animal, there is no creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility of his rozi. The different types of rozi, it's one aspect. The different ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds his creation, sometimes by hunting, sometimes by presenting it there, sometimes by means of some person, sometimes by means of different occupations. If you ask insan, somebody is selling some merchandise, somebody is doing farming and agriculture, somebody is buying and selling things that don't belong to him, somebody is working with his hands, somebody is creating something, is trying to do something, somebody is mending and fixing something. Different ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given men understanding that he gets his rozi and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for him. What we had mentioned was two incidents of people. One was that person who had abstained from haram and abstained from being a victim of shaitan and nafs and his environment, and he had followed the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ensured that Allah had given him many folds more than what he had saved himself from. Person saves himself from haram and those impermissible and illegal ways of earning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him barakat and blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes gives him that very thing that he had saved himself. Like we had mentioned the incident of Muhammad bin Abdul Baqi. And we had also mentioned incident where a person, because of his greed and lust for wealth, he had began to lie in the presence of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and how he had become deprived even after getting all the wealth. After getting the three bricks of gold, we find that he lost his life. He could not benefit from there. The object of this is to conscientize ourselves, firstly, that our rozi is being fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, predetermined by him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us exactly what he has fixed. We are told to make an effort. This is our challenge. If we make an effort in the proper manner, in the proper way, in the prescribed way, shown to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then inshallah we will get our rozi and we will be blessed in that rozi. And we will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some rewards we had mentioned last week as well. But on the contrary, if we break the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do those things that are haram and impermissible, thinking that we will get more of our rozi, then firstly we are mistaken. We will only get that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predestined for us. And secondly, we will be contaminating and polluting our wealth, with the result there will be no peace of mind and there will be no barakat. So we have to abstain from haram, those ways that are not liked by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are too many ways to mention, too numerous and too much and too many, very well known to many of us here, that these means are completely haram, we should not adopt them. For example, gambling, completely haram, not permissible under any circumstances. And the ayats of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention this. Today we find in our marketplace so many ways, the lotto, this competition, that competition, the casinos, etc. Throw a few rands and become a millionaire overnight, etc. Temptations are there, the advertisements are there. This is a complete haram way. Even if a person becomes a millionaire overnight, then that is the path towards his destruction. No barakat therein, and we will find that that which has come in a haram manner will go away in the haram manner and will bring with it the evils of haram. Evils of haram, we all know, is destruction, death, sickness, etc., calamities, etc. So some are these ways. The other way, some of us don't understand, is dealing in interest and usury, etc. This also is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَمْحَقُ وَيُرْبِ الرَّهُ الصَّدَقَاتِ وَيَمْحَقُ الرِّبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys those things that are contaminated with usury and interest, whether it is in the form of selling and take charging people interest, whether in the form of taking unnecessary loans in order to boost my business, etc. All these ways where interest is involved is not permissible, and it is in the strongest terms we find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has condemned it, that the person who deals in all this, then he is waging a war against who? فَأْزَرُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Waging a war, not between a person who is mighty and strong, not between a country, not between a government, but waging a war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who can stand and who can survive when he wages a war against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who can expect and think that I will have blessings and barakat in my wealth when he is going on the war path with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? A third type of haram we find is those items that are absolutely prohibited by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Holy Quran, like alcohol, and we find those animals that are not, or the swine, etc., completely impermissible and not permissible under any circumstances to sell those items. Sometimes people feel, no, this is the customer's demand. I am not consuming these items. I'm merely selling these items. And I'm selling it to those people who are not Muslims. So that's absolutely fine. No, it is not permissible. Here we are contaminating our business that may be absolutely halal, but we're selling two or three items of haram. We are contaminating it. Who is there that is prepared to drink a fresh glass of milk and contaminate a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of urine, a little bit of napaki? Who is there? Who is the sane human being who will say, no, that's fine. It's very little bit here, I'll consume it. No. Similarly, when we have a halal business, everything is halal there. Some items are there that contaminate this, pollute this business and become the means of destruction of that business and the barakah in that business. Similarly, you find sometimes the item is completely halal, but the way it is obtained is completely haram. It is stolen goods. It is something that does not belong to a person. Person picked up somewhere and begins to sell it here. Something that he got fraudulently from somebody and now he begins to sell it. The item is absolutely halal, but the way he obtained it was not proper. That makes that like item also haram and completely illegal. Sometimes the manner, the way he conducts his business, he is lying in his business and he is cheating in his business. He is deceiving in his business. Like we mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come to the Sahabi and put his hands, Mubarak hand, in those grains, and he found the grains were wet at the bottom. And he asked him, what is this? Your grains on top seems to be fine. This is at the bottom. He said, no, it had rained and my grains had become wet. He said, no, you're supposed to be exposing this. It's not supposed to be concealing it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said words like, man ghashya falaysa minna. The person that deceives, he is not from us. He is not in our manner, in our way. We are completely truthful and trustworthy, and we do not deceive any person. There should be no form of deception. There should be nothing that is fraudulent there. And we find today, unfortunately, we find another manner that has become rife in our marketplaces, not paying the merchants, buying the items and not paying the merchants, completely refusing to pay the merchants on flimsy pretexts. And flimsy, one person told me, one person had filled up petrol in his service station. And what happens there? Instead of 5 rand, the person, or 50 rand, the person paid 51 rand. So what happened? There was an argument that ensued. This is a reality told to me by the person. The argument ensued. And what do you think what happened? What ought to happen is, she only paid the 50 rand and not the 1 rand extra. This person refused to pay the person for all the petrol. Can you imagine? A Muslim person, he refuses to say, because I asked him to 50 rand of petrol and he filled 51 rand, I'm not prepared to pay him. I'm not prepared to pay him anything. Daylight robbery. And do you think that person will have barakat? Similarly, we find people sell items in the marketplace. These are shocking facts that we don't know, because we are from the house to the masjid to the madrasa. We don't know what happens in the marketplace. Person sells his item to a Muslim person. He sells it, for example, for 50 rand, whether it is oil or whether it is rice or whatever it is. After 2 weeks, the price comes down. The deal is concluded here. This person will pay him. After 2 weeks, the price comes down from 50 rand to 40 rand. What happens? This person says, I'm not prepared to pay you the 50 rand. Either you pick up your goods and move, or either you give it to me for 40 rand. Can you imagine? Your word is your honor. The deal is signed. The contract is over here. Now this person holds him to that decrease of the price. That is not in the control of that person, nor the buyer, nor the purchaser. Control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have concluded a deal on a certain price, and your word is your honor. You are now obliged to pay that person, whether that item comes down to 40 rand or comes down to 4 rand. No, here a person says no. And who? Those people that seem outwardly so pious, are reading the 5 daily salat, etc., forgetting that deen is not only our salat and our zakat, and going out in the path of Allah and making a bit of zikrullah. Deen is the entire deen. That is all facets of life. When it comes to our buying and selling, etc., that is also an integral part of our deen, because our ibadat is based on what we earn. If we earn from haram, then the ibadat is not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet another form of haram that is becoming rife, I believe, in the society. So all forms of haram will not bring barakat and will not bring that contentment and peace of mind that we are looking for. And if you want for peace of mind and contentment, that even if it is little bit, as long as it is halal, as long as it is pure, we'll find that peace of mind. And we should remember, our object in this dunya is not that we make tijarat and become rich, and we increase our bank balances. This is not our object of the dunya. This is a mere necessity, a mere necessity of life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us here with all the needs that we have. When we need to sustain ourselves in a halal manner, that is why we go and earn. But if you want to make the dunya our ultimate goal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the hadith. Severe warnings are given to that person, the hadith. One hadith is mentioned, words to this effect: the person that earns the dunya and makes it the ultimate goal, then firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no regard for such a person. Why? Because he has shunned the order of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His ultimate aim is to earn something that is not even equal to a wing of a mosquito in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can we imagine that little boy? You have priceless gems before you, and you have something completely insignificant there, lollipop there. He leaves all those priceless gems there, and he is obsessed with that little lollipop. What will you think? What respect and what feeling will you have towards the child? He has no understanding whatsoever. Similarly, that person who makes the dunya his ultimate goal, he earns it and makes it his ultimate goal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no regard for that person. Secondly, though, in the eyes of the public, he may be a very popular person, a person of pomp and glory and respect, because he has a lot of wealth. But if he has made the dunya his ultimate goal, it is mentioned that Allah has no regard for him. And secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts him with 4 afflictions. Firstly, he has an anxiety that is unending. An anxiety and a worry to keep increasing his wealth that is unending. He gets millions upon millions, property upon property, wholesale upon wholesale, but that anxiety is unending. He just wants to earn more and more and more. And the second thing that happens to him, he is busy, an occupation that leaves him no spare time. How many people you find, person has millions of rands and millions of hundreds of properties, and he has everything you can think of, like they say, he's owning half of the town, but yet the person has no time. He has no time to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no time with his family. He has no time with his wife and children. He has no time whatsoever, day in and day out, but is completely occupied and engrossed in earning more and more and more. This is affliction from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, it is mentioned in the hadith that that person, he has a need and a poverty that deprives him from the feeling of contentment. He has no feeling of contentment. He's given and given and given and given. He's earning and earning, but he has no contentment. He still wants more, and he still wants more, and he still wants more. And on one hand, we find that his wealth is increasing. On the other hand, we find his needs are increasing as well. It never seems to be sufficient. He gets more and more, but he looks at his needs, they seem to be increasing as well. And he's chasing around his entire life in this manner, without the feeling of contentment, without the feeling of satisfaction, and without the feeling of happiness and joy. He keeps on earning, but he keeps on yearning for even more and more. And fourthly, it mentioned that he has unending desires for the distant future, those that can never be completed and never be fulfilled. That I will do this, I will do this, and I will do this. I'll build a house here, and a building there, and a mansion here, and a wholesale here, and a property there, and an offshore investment here, and a house there. Unending desires for the distant future that will never be fulfilled throughout his life. Even if he is given 1,000 years to live, because of his unending desires, it is not fulfilled. This is an affliction from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person makes the dunya his ultimate goal. If he makes the dunya his ultimate goal, then these are the afflictions that come from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we should remember earning the dunya is a necessity. It should be done per our necessity. Everything is done per necessity. You go into the toilet per necessity and come out. You go somewhere for a holiday per necessity, you come in. You go to a certain place to your shop as per necessity and you close shop and come. This reality was a stark reality in the lives of our fathers and grandfathers. When you used to ask them and say, Chacha or Dada ji, we want a certain wholesale. Not for us. Why? We're getting our rosy and we're fulfilling our need and our object of life being fulfilled. We're getting our rosy and we are fulfilling our requirements of my wife and children, and I'm busy in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is my actual object. So they used to refuse. They used to refuse extra engagements, those engagements that distract from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we call it today barakat. We call it what? Barakat. Mawana, make dua. Allah give me more barakat and more barakat. You making barakat, but you don't even prepare to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've got no time to come for your Jummah salat. You've got no time to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You call in this morning, I got another whole set here, and another one there, and another one there. Do you require it? Do you require it? Or are you fulfilling the needs of the people? Or are you want to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's why you're vying with other people, so you can get an enormous amount of wealth and spend in the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. Then it's a different story. But no, we see this person going further and further away from the deen of Allah, from the remembrance of Allah, and from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is the one that provides for him. So we should remember that we're doing this as per our necessities. What we require is contentment. What we require is contentment and barakat in our rozi. That's what we require. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed our rozi. All of us that we are here, no time to go into details. You will come to Spingo Beach. You may come for a nikah. This is what you'll consume. You will go to a certain town for a certain need. This is the amount of water you'll consume. The fish you'll consume. The meat you'll consume. All worked out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No time to go into details. But what we require is to make it easy for us, to make the rosy easy for us, and to give us contentment, O Allah. When you give us contentment, then when there is contentment in the heart of a slave, then he is a king. And if there is greed in the heart of a king, then he is a slave. He may be a king, he has the entire kingdom, but his heart is not contented, then he is like a slave, looking around and needing and looking for things. And there may be a slave, an ordinary slave, and his contentment, he is contented with Allah, what Allah has given him, he is the kings of the king. He is the kings from among the kings here, while he's walking around with a heart full of contentment. But otherwise, what we'll find? We'll find what we see today, that there's no contentment and there's no peace of mind. Like the Urdu saying goes, that bahir is sherwani and andar is parishani. Outwardly, you look at the man, very prosperous man, very nice house, and a palatial home, many cars, etc. But if you go inside and see, full of parishani. This is reality, these are not only words. Remind me of an incident when one Jamaat had gone to Australia. Person came back and said, what a strange thing we witnessed. Says, when we had gone there, certain person, a very prosperous person, has invited us to come and have some program in his home as well. Obviously, the ever obliging these people going out in the path of Allah, whoever can benefit. So he says, when we went there, these people sent some cars to pick us up. And what cars? From the best of cars. The best of cars, you all know, I don't want to take the names to make it too lengthy. The best of cars. We sat into those cars and went to the home. And when we saw the home, from among the best of homes, the most palatial homes that you can think of, walked into the home and we looked at the furniture in the home, from among the best of furniture that you could see. Then what happened? Little children came to us. Most nice children with the best of clothing, they came to us. They fed us with the best of food that you can think of and imagine. And thereafter, it was time for us, after we had finished our program, to leave there. Then came out a small little note from there. Ki dua karna parishani hai. Allah parishani dur kar de. Make dua that we are parishan and we are full of anxiety and worry. Allah Ta'ala takes away this anxiety and worry. How are you worried? You have all the goods of comfort, but Allah has not kept comfort in the goods of comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it in the heart here and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you obtain the wealth from those sources that are haram, you may have everything in your home, everything in the house, everything a person requires in this dunya, but that peace of mind and that contentment will not be there. So many people we find, they say, we are parishan, we are worried. What you are worried for? Don't you have the outer means of support? I have everything in my home, the best of things I have in my home, but that peace of mind and contentment is not there. Why? Sometimes you look down, you find sometimes it's some haram that they have committed, or the may, his income is from haram. There can be no blessing in those income that is from haram. Sometimes you find a person has a lot of wealth, but his needs are not fulfilled. His needs are not fulfilled. Why? Because that wealth has come from haram sources. Sometimes you find that his needs are fulfilled, but he has some problems with the wife, some problems with the children, some calamities begin to fall that person. It is a tax man on one side, a robbery on the other side, the creditors on the other side, and the person is filled up with worry, yet he has a great amount of wealth. There's no barakat in that wealth. And similarly, we find sometimes one person is earning and two people can't eat. Two people have to go out earning to feed two mouths. Two people have to go out earning to feed one mouth. Look back, just go 20 and 30 years ago, you will find our forefathers and our fathers. One person is earning and 12 people are eating. One person is earning and 15 people are eating. One person is earning and he is feeding the family. He is giving his poor relatives. He is giving towards the masjid, towards the madrasa, and one person is earning. Today you find two people earning. One, my wife also has to work because we cannot make ends meet. How many are you in the family? We are three. My wife, myself, and my little child. No barakat in the earnings that a person is earning. Why? Because sometimes a person adopts those ways and means that are not of barakat. Even if a person earns six figures every day or six figures every month, then that also will not be sufficient for him. Why? Because the source of income is something that brings with it destruction and harm, brings with it worry and misery, and brings with it perplexed, worrying, and brings in musibat and afat and taklif, does not bring peace and does not bring peace and tranquility. Reminds me of an incident of a person who had to stay in a big mansion and he could not even eat his food. He had all the wealth, but he could not even eat. He could not even fall asleep. And next to him, there was a little stream. A person who was a woodcutter came there and he had the wood on his back. He threw the wood down. He washed himself with the river water, took out his dry roti, ate that roti and slept there and began to snore. He said, "Subhanallah, I have all the wealth in the world, but I can't consume one meal." This person came and ate this dry roti, completely satisfied and satiated with what he had eaten, and he falls asleep and he's snoring away, and I have the best of mattress here, the best of homes, and all the systems that you have today, too lengthy to mention and very well known to you, all the systems you have here of the aircon, etc., of the lighting, etc., everything is there, but I cannot fall asleep. This is the real wealth that this person has, that his daily needs are being fulfilled so easily. So that wealth that we earn and does not fulfill our daily needs, our basic needs of life, how can that be blessed wealth? The objects of the wealth is not fulfilled. So we should be very cautious and wary about these two things. One is qana'at, to be contented, and one is to ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us barakat and blessing in our wealth. And for this we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that laysa al-ghina an kasrat al-arad walakin al-ghina ghina an-nafs. That wealth in reality is not this amount. The amount that you accumulate and amass is not this. The great amount of wealth you have, the large figures that you have in your bank balance, this is not wealth. وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. Real richness and real wealth is the contentment of the heart. The contentment of the heart is the real wealth. You may have just a few hundred you may be earning, but your heart is completely contented. You are a very rich man. This is what Rasulullah s.a.w. is trying to tell us here. And all of us want to become rich. Rasulullah s.a.w. gives a beautiful prescription. Rasulullah s.a.w. tells us in the hadith, وَرْدَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. You want to become the richest of people, then become pleased with that which Allah has fixed and apportioned for you. What Allah has fixed for you, become happy with that. Whatever it is, become happy and pleased with that. تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. You will be the richest of people. Otherwise, you won't have need and greed thereafter and look at the people around you and say, this person has been given so much. No, my Allah has given me a certain amount and I am happy with it. Rasulullah says, this is a prescription to become the wealthiest person on the face of the earth. One pious person writes, who is more in need? That person that has millions and needs a few more millions, or that person that comes to your door, he taps the door and is looking for a 50 rand for the day. Who is more in need? Person that is yearning for millions, or the person that is yearning for just 10 or 15 or 20 rand for the day, who is in more need? This person here who has millions, who seems outwardly very prosperous, but because of his greed, he has become even more lowly than that person, that beggar that comes at the door and taps the door. And Rasulullah ﷺ tells us that when you see, normally this is a complaint of people, or this is what people fall into, is that when they see people around them, sometimes we find some of our brothers coming from other parts of the world. They are here for 6 months and 8 months and has opened another shop and another shop and a third shop. This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a sole prerogative to give to whomsoever he wants, whatever he wants. That person came from whatever country, from Bangladesh, from India, from Pakistan, from Morocco, from Egypt, from Somalia. And it is destined for him that he will stay here and he will open 10 shops and 20 shops.
kitabs, there's a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not my decree and your decree. And it's decree that I'll be working here for 50 years and I'll be working for a bigger sum and I won't be given more. This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows. وَلَوْ بَسَدَ اللَّهُ رِزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَاكِي يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدْرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. I won't go into the details here. Allah Ta'ala says that if a person Allah Ta'ala wishes, he could have expanded the rosary for everybody. But people begin to transgress the laws of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is very well acquainted with every person and apportions for him what is most suitable for him. So what is the wise thing to do is not to be jealous and envious of that person who has a great amount of wealth that is given from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the wise thing to do is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he has given us and to be express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be contented. Mention one hadith, if you see some person, give you the gist of the hadith. If you see some person that is better than you as far as his creation is concerned, his know-how is concerned, his looks are concerned, his expertise is concerned, or somebody that has been given excellence over you in wealth, فَلْيَنْزُرِ لَا مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُ. Then look at those people. Don't look at them and envy them and be ungrateful for the ni'mat, but look at those people that are below you. Look at those people that are below you so that you can express your gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us another hadith. There's a hadith from Hadith al-Qudsi wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us and tells us and shows us the way where we can get this contentment and peace of mind and satisfaction, and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take away our poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses me and you and says, Ibn Adam, O son of Adam, tafarraq li ibadati, free yourself for my worship. And what will I do? Then amla wa sadraka ghinan wa suddu faqrak. Then I will fill your heart up with contentment. If you free yourself for my worship, then I will fill your heart up with what? I will fill your heart up with contentment and I will take away your poverty. And if you do not do this, mala'tu yadaka shughlan wa lam asudd fakrak. And if you don't do this, you don't free yourself from my worship, then I will fill your hands up with occupation. You will be busy like you see people from the morning till the evening. Wa lam asudd fakrak. And I will not take away your poverty. Your poverty will remain. You will be need engaged from morning till evening, but your poverty will not go. This is the divine promise of who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is the Razzaq, the one that gives us the rosy, the one that is feeding us, the one that knows our needs. This is divine promise. But what do you find men doing? If I go for salat, I will miss my business. I will go for salat, I will harm my business. If I leave out this and fulfill the order of Allah, there will be so much harm for me. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll fill your heart up with what? With contentment. And I will take away your poverty. I'll take your poverty away. Similarly, we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself makes dua, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani wa barik li fi. Oh Allah, give me contentment in what you have given me. In the rosy that you have given me, give me contentment. Wa barik li fi, and give me barakat. Give me barakat and blessings in the earnings that you have given me. And this is what we need. Barakat. And what is barakat? That all those good things that come with that rosy, the fulfillment of our needs, the peace of mind, the satisfaction, and the ease and comfort that we want from the rosy that we're earning, this is the barakat. Where all our needs are fulfilled with a little amount of wealth, and we have no need, no anxiety, no worry, etc. And as I mentioned, this was the hallmark of our pious elders. We find though they were not great ulama, they did not open to so many deeni discourses, but this was the sifat that they had in their heart, contentment and peace of mind. They had contentment and peace of mind, and we find that they enjoyed the barakat of the wealth that they earned. Though it was little, but the barakat was there. And similarly, we find in our deen is so beautiful that every walk of life, in fact, in every walk, we find there is du'as made for the rosy. Person is making wudu. Here also we are taught to make du'a for rosy. وَبَارِكْلِ فِي رِزْقِي. Oh Allah, from among one of the du'as is, Oh Allah, give me barakat in my rosy. Give me barakat in my rosy. One of the du'as when you're entering the masjid, Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik wa sahhil li abwaab rizqik. Oh Allah, make my rosy, the doors of my rosy, make it easy for me. In the namazes between the sijdas, among the du'as is, Allahumma aghfir li warhamni wa afini wa hadini warzuqni. Oh Allah, give me rosy, give me barakat in my rosy. When you leave the masjid, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Oh Allah, I ask you for your grace. In many places of the Quran, fadl is mentioned for the rosy. When you're going out now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask you from your grace, I ask you in other words from your rosy. And Rasulullah also has taught us du'as here. And we find among the great qualities, among the words that are used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one that feeds everyone. Ya Razik al-Tifl al-Saghir. Some place mentioned, Oh Allah, the one that feeds the small little child. And if you have this hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will feed us from the unseen. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one hadith, words to this effect, that if you have tawakkul, and if you have complete trust and confidence in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will feed you like how He feeds the birds. They leave the morning, they are hungry, and they come back, they are completely satisfied and satiated. If you have that hope and tawakkul on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will feed you in the same manner. So here we find, we are taught, du'as also, when it comes to asking for rosy, we not only employ the means, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us from His treasures whatever He wants. It's not dependent only on our effort. How many are there, I mentioned previously, that make and toil from the morning till the evening, but get nothing? And how many are there that make one phone call and earn millions of rands? This is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives according to what He wishes. So we should ask for the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other causes, other ways we find in the Quran and Hadith, where I think it's worthy of mentioning here, though it's a public holiday, normally we delay our Jummah, ways of mentioning this. Why? Because many of us are not conscientized as to where we can get increase in barakat in our rosy. If you look, we'll just make a cursory glance at to some of the aspects that I mentioned, the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is the 5 daily salat. One of the great promises, akramahullah bi khamsin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors that person who carries out his 5 daily salat. The first thing is, he takes away dhiqul risk. The difficulty and hardship of rozi is taken away. His rozi is made easy. Otherwise, if I close my shop and come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the means of making my rozi easy. And not what I think, that if I close my shop, then my rozi will become difficult. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-sadiqul amin, the one that's most truthful and most trustworthy. Secondly, we find that making khidmat of our parents, respecting and honoring our parents here, also a means of rosy in our lives. And any weak person, so typically we find sometimes a person is running a business, he becomes old and frail and weary. And what happens now? The sons come in charge and they are running the show. They call the shot, so to say. Now we take the old man out of the whole here, take the old man out here, because he doesn't know what's happening. That gesture comes in. His ideas are very old. He cannot be running the business. Today we have modern trends, etc. We press the buttons and we are communicating with the rest of the world. And the world is working for us. And we can get so much thousand. This person's got old-fashioned ideas. Take him out. Take him out of the equation, so they say. Papa, you stay at home. Not necessary for you to come here. All the modern techniques are employed. The business is going down. More important, gone down. Business consultants, still going down. Why? Rasulullah tells us one hadith, إِنَّمَا يُنْسَرُونَ وَيُرْزَقُونَ بِدُعَفَائِكُمْ, that your assistance comes, divine assistance comes from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you get rosy with the barakat of your weak ones. The barakat of your weak ones, that sick parent that is there, that old parent is there, because of his barakat, Allah is giving you rosy. We feel because of him, I'm not getting rosy. Take him out of the equation and things go down. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a system. Similarly, if you have love and khidmat of our parents, this becomes a means of barakat in our rosy. Similarly, to look after our family and to have family ties, also a means of barakat in our rosy. Today a person says, I've got no time, busy earning my rosy, and where is the time to look at my grandfather, or go and see my auntie, or go and see my foy, etc. I do not have time. This is the means, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for your rosy to get barakat in your rosy, and not only in your rosy, but even in your life. You want a nice life, a long life full of barakat, go and look after your, make sila rahmi and have family ties. This is another means. Another means we find in the light of the Quran and Hadith is to make istighfar, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness of our sins. But all sins, one of the evil effects of sins is this, a decrease in your rosy. Oh, make istighfar. Many incidents where one person had come to the saint and told him, we don't have children, make istighfar. Crops are not growing, make istighfar. There's no rain, make istighfar. Certain things are not happening, make istighfar. But in asking Hazrat, everybody has one formula. Says that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. The words of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, istaghfiru rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, He is most forgiving. And yursil as-samaa'a alaykum midrara, He will send down rains, He will assist you with wealth, He will give you children, He will make your crops grow, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, the effect of this will be, this is what will happen. So to make a lot of istighfar, today unfortunately sin has become so rife, we can't distinguish and discern between good and bad and vice and virtue. person says, what sin did I commit? And you start examining his knife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid and save us. From the morning till the evening, person is engaged in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to identify good from bad and evil, virtue, vice from virtue. Here we find another sabab of barakat in our rozi is to make istighfar. Similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown so easy prescriptions. One person comes and says he has difficulty. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, whenever you enter into your home, make salam. Read Durud Sharif and read Surah Ikhlas. Allah will give you barakat. One person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, make wudu. Make wudu. Another person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is going with Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He sees a person in dire straits, in difficulty, in sickness. In sickness, what's the problem? I am sick and I do not have any wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribed for him this wazifa. Di tawakkaltu ala al-hayy alladhi la yamut. That I have placed my trust between he that is Hayyun la yamut, is ever living and never dies. And read the last verse of Surah Bani Israel. After a while, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passing there, the person at the table, the whole scenario is changed. Person is well and prosperous. What happened? O Prophet of Allah, I kept on reciting this wazifa that you have shown me. Surah Waqiyah, to read after Maghrib namaz. We all know Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reads it daily, lam tusibu faqatun. Poverty and want will never be his lot. He will never become poor. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, so much yakin, he refuses wealth. I don't need this wealth. Why? Because I've heard this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I've taught my daughters these wazifa, and they read Surah Waqiyah. And similarly, we find some ulama kiram mentioned the surah, the ayat in Surah Shura, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu latifun bi'ibadi yarzuqu man yasha wa huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most kind to his servants, and he feeds whomsoever he wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qawi and aziz, more powerful and full of might. Here a person who reads it 70 times after the first salat, our great mashayikh like Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah mentioned, is such a version that a person is tried and tested, and people get barakat in their roses. And obviously, or ultimately, or I would say essentially, is this, that we should abstain from all forms of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will sense the barakat. The item may be small and little, but you'll find that peace of mind and that contentment in our lives. And also nikah. Today is the nikah after the Jummah Salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us there's also a means of getting barakat in your rozi. Normally it's the other way around. Why are you not getting married? What's your age? 25 years old. Why aren't you getting married? I'm getting everything right now. What's happening? Haven't you got a job? No, I got a job. I'm trying to organize a nice house and get everything ready, you know, before I can get married. A wife is coming, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ إِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِيَّكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Get these people married.